It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Thursday night, we welcome you in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We've got a full 2 hours with you tonight. That's because the Cardinals, they have already played. They got a win against San Diego today by a 4-1 score. We'll talk a fair amount. We got a busy program tonight. We have a really, really, really busy show tonight. It's one of those things where when the Cardinals play a bunch of games, sometimes they have Mondays and Thursdays where we have shows. So we've got stuff that we need to get in during the week, and we can kind of spread it out. With just one show this week, we are jam-packing, you know, everything we can into this one. On the show this hour, former Rams head coach Mike Martz is going to be with us. We'll reflect upon the 1999 Rams as the 25-year anniversary, and an event with the Cardinals is going to be coming up, recognizing them. Later on, Ross Smith from Apple TV and MLS Season Pass will talk City SC soccer with us. Words you never thought were ever going to be spoken on in the illustrious history of this grand radio station that is KMOX. Words that you never thought would be spoken, and hopefully I still have a job tomorrow. Musician Young Gravy is going to be on the show later on this hour. He was at Busch Stadium today throwing out a first pitch. He's doing a concert tonight at Ballpark Village. So if you want to hear from Young Gravy, you're at the right place. Oh, I feel like I'm taking the ship down. 7 o'clock hour, we are going to, Tom Ackerman is going to join us. He's got a conversation with Worldwide Technology Raceway owner Curtis Francois and a few other folks. A huge, huge announcement today. It had been rumored for a while. It is now 100% official. You heard it first here on KMOX earlier today. What, man, the folks at Worldwide Technology Raceway are amazing. They are amazing what they've turned that track into. They're even more amazing in what they have turned their race weekends into, both for the IndyCar weekend and for the NASCAR weekend. The motorsports world has taken note of what we've got going on in St. Louis and what we have going on at Worldwide Technology Raceway. It is an amazing weekend every weekend when NASCAR comes in here, and now it's not just going to be a NASCAR regular season weekend. It's going to be a Cup Series playoff weekend. Fantastic, amazing, awesome news. Kudos to everybody at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Kudos to everybody at NASCAR for recognizing this market and what it is doing right now and the support. Kudos to you, by the way, sports fans. Many of you who are not motorsports fans, many of you who are not NASCAR fans, but you know what you do? You realize it's a big weekend and you show up. That's one of the great things about St. Louis sports fans is... When it's time to show up, we show up, right? Like when it's a big event, when we've got golf events that come in, and it's kind of odd talking about this right now during a period where attendance is down with the Cardinals, but I don't think those two are related. Fans are making noise about the Cardinals for other reasons. But obviously, when the Cardinals are playing well and when Cardinals fans are happy with what the organization is doing, there's no better place in Major League Baseball. So, sports fans in St. Louis showing out what they can be, and the payoff is a Cup Series playoff race, which is oh so very cool. And then Isaiah Swope, one of the newest members of the St. Louis University men's basketball team, coming in with head coach Josh Schertz. He's going to join us next hour as well. So like I said, jam-packed 2 hours right here on KMOX. Thought it was a good win today for the Cardinals. We talked about it a little bit during the extra inning show. If you were listening to that, like yesterday was a really good win coming back to get that walk-off win. And it's been fun to see what Nolan Arenado has been able to do here in the month as he came up with another walk-off yesterday, his second walk-off of the month. Today, Sonny Gray pitched well. The standings are what the standings are. This team is not likely headed to the playoffs. But if they can create some good moments, if they can get above 500, and who knows if all of a sudden some teams in front of them start to just really, really fall off, and there's no sign of that happening right now. The Atlanta Braves have won 8 of their last 10, but you give yourself a shot by winning games. They split the series against the Padres. You would have much rather them taken 3 out of 4, but you can fix that by going and sweeping a series here. If they somehow find a way to 87 wins, is that enough? That's 10 more wins. I don't know if they get there. That's 20 more wins, I should say. I don't know if they can get there. And even if they do get there, I don't know at this point if it gets you in. If the Braves don't really slow down, it doesn't. But we'll certainly discuss Cardinals baseball as well. But up next, we are set to be joined by the former head coach of the St. Louis Rams. Mike Martz is going to join us. We'll reflect on the 25-year anniversary of the greatest show on turf, and we'll look forward to the event that's going to be coming up at Busch Stadium later on this year. That's up next. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Up on Saturday, September 21st, the Cardinals are doing a Greatest Show on Turf 25th anniversary celebration. Theme tickets are available, cardinals.com/theme. With the theme ticket, you get this really cool Greatest Show on Turf Cardinals cap. It's a really good looking cap. And to help commemorate this and talk about the event that's going on, it is certainly our honor to bring in former Rams head coach, offensive coordinator. He is Mike Martz. Coach, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Good, Dave. Thanks for having me.
I know you have to do it a lot, just reflecting on your time with the Rams, and now as we do come up on the 25th anniversary of the Greatest Show on Turf, how often do you think about those teams and the Super Bowl win and the Super Bowl appearances and just everything that went along with that era of Rams football?
Well, first of all, it's hard to imagine. It's been 25 years, you know, but I think that it's not so much the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously, it is both of them being in those two, but the people, the players, and the coaches along the way. You know, the time you spent with them and going through that whole season and the process. I think I know it gets overstated sometimes, but the process really is significant and is rewarding in itself.
How much did you enjoy that process? Because you putting together an offense and just the breathtaking innovation that we saw offensively from your teams, that doesn't happen. I can't imagine the hours that were spent by you and the teams putting it in. What was that process like, and how much did you enjoy everything that went into it?
I enjoyed it immensely. It was very difficult, but when we had made the decision that, we weren't going to do what everybody does, everybody kind of pretty much did the same thing offensively. We would look at a defense and try to create things to stress that defense the best that we could. Or there are some teams that you can actually control what defense they're in by formationing. So we try to do that. And by doing that, you get guys isolated at times, and you can get sometimes Marshall on one-on-one outside as a receiver. Sometimes you get Ozzie Keating, matched up on a safety, which is ridiculous, So some of those matchups were really insane. But I think the thing it gets looked past sometimes is how good we really were in the offensive line. And we were really, really, really good in the offensive line.
And it always starts with that. You have to be able to run the ball. You have to be able to protect a quarterback. If you don't do those two things, all the fun, cool stuff probably isn't happening.
I watched football today, and I watched our offensive line. I still have a lot of the old coaching clips from back there. I go back and look. At times, people ask questions about a play that we did or something. But looking at it, we were so good in protection, particularly inside three guys. Guys just didn't get off the ball on us, So we had the quarterback always had room to step up, and we used a lot of different protections. But these guys were so sound technically, and they were so physical. And of course, their running game was impeccable. They knocked them out of there so many times that, Marshall sometimes goes through the hole, wouldn't get touched for 10 yards.
When you were designing an offense and offensive plays, was it more about designing an offense that fit your players, or did you want players to adjust to what you wanted to do, or is it a little bit of both?
Well, we expected all of them to be able to adjust to everything. My old college coach told me, coach is the smartest guy. So that's what we did. So by doing that, you start first with what they do defensively, and then you start filling in the blanks with people, how to attack that. There are times when you most definitely, when you can formation into a certain situation and get a defense and you know exactly what they can play in the secondary, perhaps you can get Isaac Bruce down the middle of that defense by being in a real tight slot. That's how that works. So once you can identify defensively how you want to attack them, then who are we going to do it with and how are we going to do it?
We're talking with former Rams offensive coordinator and head coach Mike Martz. Coach, obviously the city of St. Louis has issue with the Rams, but they still beloved the St. Louis Rams. Chris Long was at Busch Stadium today throwing out a first pitch, and players and coaches who played here are still absolutely beloved despite the fact of what the organization did. What does that relationship between everybody that was part of the Rams back then and what it is even to today?
But I think from the first time the Rams got here, and I was part of that, there was a love affair between that team and the city. It stayed to my time here. I know that much. We were always sold out. And, people told me years later that it was the most intimidating place in the league to play at that time. It was certainly the loudest, when people weren't piping, extra crowd noise in there. It was definitely the loudest. And it was... You bring the hair in the back of your neck when the team would take the field, and it just absolutely was deafening,
You were part of the broadcast crew for the Battle Hawks there at the end of the season on our sister station, working with Tom Ackerman on that game. I know it's a whole lot different, but there was football in that building again. Was it fun for you to see that?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of fun. I'm not much of a broadcaster. I get caught up in the details of it, so I don't know how good that was received, but it wasn't very entertaining, but I love watching the intricacies of it and how much football's really kind of changed, in some respects, and in a lot of respects, offensively simplified from what it was in the past. You don't stress the defense as much as we used to, with different personnel groups and being out of the center.
You say you're not much of a broadcaster and you get caught up in things, but I go back to listening to those Rams games and I think of Jim Hannifin, and there's nobody who got more like caught up in the moment than him, and he was fantastic on those broadcasts. Like you just died to hear what he was going to say.
Hey, yeah, but Jim, they had to put him on a 10-second delay because there's some words that would come out of there that, they got to bleep and cut. So unfortunately, it was on a delay, but yeah, Jim is one of the kind, as they say, and you could write a book just on his time there at the Rams and my experiences with him, some of them were just hilarious.
Just from every time you think to yourself you're not a great broadcaster and you get caught up in things, just think about Jim Hanifin and you'll be fine.
Oh, boy.
So this event with the Cardinals is going to be coming up on Saturday, September 21st. There's going to be a lot of folks that are going to be coming in for this. It's a reunion. How great is it when there are events like this and you get to see a bunch of folks that you haven't seen in a while?
Well, you know, really, it's the only time we get to see each other. You know, everybody's got families and they're in different parts of the country and you can play phone tag occasionally, but, you know, you don't have events during the year where you ever see any of them. You know, I talk to Marshall on a fairly regular basis, but I don't see anybody else. And when I was in San Diego, I could see him. I don't see him anymore because I'm back here. So just like everybody else, you get caught in your own little world and time goes on and your family, it takes all your time. And so this ties everybody back together. And I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody again.
Isaac Bruce's foundation is kind of the coordinating unit here, and that he still is very involved in what's going on in St. Louis. A lot of former Rams are still very involved, but where all of a sudden it's hard to be connected to the actual team because the team isn't in St. Louis, it's fantastic that people like Isaac are able to use their foundations to kind of be the beacon and the point for events like these.
Well, he's an epitome of unselfishness. You know, it's typical Isaac. He does everything for everybody and takes a little credit for anything, and that's the way he's always been.
Is Torrey going to get into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, he has to. He has to. Otherwise, they should blow the Hall of Fame up. You know, I mean, how is he not in now? I just, you know, I heard somebody said one of the guys that votes on it had mentioned that there's too many guys from that Ram team in as it is. We don't need another one. Well, that has nothing to do with it. It's based on your individual performance and how well you competed and, you know, I would say that because of all the other talent that was on that team, he was still able to put up these humongous numbers, even though the ball was being spread around so much. And that's unusual in itself. If he was just one or two guys there, that's one thing. But he did it with, you know, another four or five guys that were getting the ball.
Is that's offensive when people, you know, it's football, it's sports, but that's borderline offensive when people say things like that for somebody who clearly is deserving of that honor.
It's more than that. It's just brutally ignorant.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Coach, it is great to talk to you as someone who grew up loving football because of those Rams teams and what you did. It's been an honor to be able to spend a few minutes with you. So thank you so much for taking this time today.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
You bet. Very good. So that event is going to be going on Saturday, September 21st. The Cardinals are going to match up against the Cleveland Guardians. 6:15 first pitch that day. Cardinals.com/theme. And there's going to be a number of members of the 1999 championship team who are going to be introduced. You get the cap with the theme ticket. Even if you don't get the theme ticket, you can go and see the pregame ceremony and give these folks a round of applause. It was I was in our studio at Busch Stadium today when Chris Long was being interviewed by Mike Claiborne, and just hearing Chris Long talk and how much he loves St. Louis, and he was finding out how people were doing. Like, man, it stinks that that the NFL did this city as dirty as they did, because we should still have NFL football. And you just see the way that the former members of the Rams appreciate this city and what it means. But this is going to be a great opportunity for you to honor that 1999 championship team. Cardinals.com/theme, September 21st. And you can get the very cool hat that goes along with it. Open line right here on KMOX, a full 2-hour show tonight because the Cardinals, they played day baseball today. They get back at tomorrow when they match up against the New York Yankees this weekend. City SC, they are going to get back at it. They're going to be at home coming up on Sunday when they take on the LA Galaxy. And on the call on that, we are very happy to welcome on to the program. He is part of the team at MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. He is Ross Smith. You can follow him on Twitter at Ross Smith_20. Ross, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
What have you seen from City through their League's Cup run? And even, you know, it was a disappointing tie against Portland because they had the lead and could not hold on. Yeah. Kind of the same thing happened against, you know, Club America in the League's Cup where they had a late lead and couldn't hold on. But it does feel like since the start of the League's Cup, since some of these transfer window players have come in, City has found a little bit more of a jump in their step.
They have, and scoring goals as well. 9 goals in 3 games. But I think there's balance coming with that as well. And I find it so interesting just with John Hackworth and the evolution of St. Louis and what they're doing from the sort of pressing against the ball style. I'm seeing St. Louis, there's a bit more calm to them. I see it's a little bit more attractive in terms of getting the ball down and building through the park. And the new signings have been bright. I think Simon Betcher, when he was at Vancouver Whitecaps, I thought he was a sneaky, clever, really good player, but he just couldn't find consistency there. So when he came to St. Louis, I thought that is a clever signing. And for me, he's potentially, he needs service. He needs players around him. But for me, he's potentially a 15 goal a season, 20 goal a season guy if he has the right players around him. So signings have looked bright. The style of play has looked good. And I think it's always nice on the eye when you're scoring goals as well.
It's interesting because the overall system wasn't going to change. Lutz Pfannenstiel is going to oversees this team, and when they went from Carnell to Hackworth, the overall system wasn't going to change. But like you just locked in on, there have been some small changes, and maybe they're not even small changes. There have been some things they've been able to do a little bit differently that still kind of fit the overall system that they want to run.
Yeah, I think little tweaks here and there. I think, you know, the base of it all is, perhaps St. Louis isn't going to be the club, the city that's going to bring in the big flashy names. You're going to bring in players that guys have a chip on their shoulder, something to prove where St. Louis values them and they see talent. I love that. I love that model. It worked out last year. Obviously, it's been difficult this year, but the evolution of that, of getting then more of the players and getting them to make that next step. And I've just seen it with other teams that have come in. I think of San Jose Earthquakes when they had Matias Almeida, who was this manager, and he really wanted the pressing, almost man-marking players all over. And it was so enthralling to watch. And players just working their tails off and all over the place. And when it worked, they were banging in goals. But when it fell apart and the legs were off the guys, they ran themselves into the ground, it fell apart. And so it needed a plan B. And I feel like St. Louis now are going into that plan B with, yes, they still know what they're about and that they work hard and they behind the ball, they've got that in place, but it's how they can evolve on the ball as well. So not huge changes, but you definitely see players that didn't really see before getting on the ball and wanting to try things a little bit more.
Klaus in practice this week has been working with the team. He seems available for selection. I know the team hasn't yet closed the door on maybe them sneaking into the playoffs this year. That continues to look incredibly unlikely. But how important is it for, as all the things that we've already talked about in our conversation, just things looking a little bit different, being able to integrate Klaus into everything else that they're doing, where they're gaining some scoring from some other pieces, but at the same time want Klaus to come in and do what he's done, especially compared to what he did last year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important, you know, for the fans, the supporters, the players in the club, just everybody involved to know that you're going in the right direction. And if you look back towards last year, and of course, a lot of eyebrows raised when Bradley Carnell was sacked, was fired, was shown the door. But if you look at it, after, you know, from League's Cup and through the end of the season, and then coming into this year, there seemed to be a carryover. And I've seen that with other teams, good or bad. So there is a carryover into the following season. So you get Klaus back, you see how the whole entire picture works for the players that you have just now. I think that's so important. I'm with you. It's going to be so tough for them to be able to get into playoffs. But to give that hope and the belief that the system and the players in place and guys playing for jobs as well. I don't know all the ins and outs of every single player's contracts, but you saw the turnover from St. Louis last year into this year that they need, players will know. Players have been shown the door. They need to perform. They need to do well.
You mentioned some of the things, and with St. Louis being an MLS city just in its second year, people like me kind of learning the culture of MLS. And one of the things that struck me last year was when the season came to an end and they lost in the playoffs, Bradley Carnell was speaking in the post-game press conference, and he was talking about the next season like it was the next week. It was almost like there was just a direct 1999 championship team, cardinals.com/theme, September 21st. And you can get the very cool hat that goes along with it. Open line right here on KMOX, a full two-hour show tonight because the Cardinals, they played day baseball today. They get back at tomorrow when they match up against the New York Yankees this weekend. City SC, they are going to get back at it. They're going to be at home coming up on Sunday when they take on the LA Galaxy. And on the call on that, we are very happy to welcome on to the program. He is part of the team at MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. He is Ross Smith. You can follow him on Twitter at RossSmith_20. Ross, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
What have you seen from City through their Leagues Cup run? And even, you know, it was a disappointing tie against Portland because they had the lead and could not hold on. Yeah. Kind of the same thing happened against, you know, Club America in the Leagues Cup where they had a late lead and couldn't hold on. But it does feel like since the start of Leagues Cup, since some of these transfer window players have come in, City has found a little bit more of a jump in their step.
They have. And scoring goals as well, 9 goals in 3 games. But I think there's balance coming with that as well. And I find it so interesting just with John Hackworth and the evolution of St. Louis and what they're doing from the sort of pressing against the ball style. I'm seeing St. Louis, there's a bit more calm to them. I see it's a little bit more attractive in terms of getting the ball down and building through the park. And the new signings have been bright. I think Simon Betcher, when he was at Vancouver Whitecaps, I thought he was a sneaky, clever, really good player, but he just couldn't find consistency there. So when he came to St. Louis, I thought that is a clever signing. And for me, he's potentially, he needs service, he needs players around him, but for me, he's potentially a 15 goal a season, 20 goal a season guy if he has the right players around him. So signings have looked bright. The style of play has looked good, and I think it's always nice on the eye when you're scoring goals as well.
It's interesting because the overall system wasn't going to change. Lutz Pfannenstiel is going to oversees this team, and when they went from Carnell to Hackworth, the overall system wasn't going to change. But like you just locked in on, there have been some small changes, and maybe they're not even small changes. There have been some things they've been able to do a little bit differently that still kind of fit the overall system that they want to run.
Yeah, I think little tweaks here and there. I think, you know, the base of it all is perhaps St. Louis isn't going to be the club, the city that's going to bring in the big flashy names. You're going to bring in players that guys have a chip on their shoulder, something to prove where St. Louis values them and they see talent. I love that. I love that model. It worked out last year. Obviously, it's been difficult this year, but the evolution of that, of getting then more of the players and getting them to make that next step. And I've just seen it with other teams that have come in. I think of San Jose Earthquakes when they had Matias Almeida, who was this manager, and he really wanted the pressing, almost man-marking players all over. And it was so enthralling to watch. And players just working their tails off and all over the place. And when it worked, they were banging in goals. But when it fell apart and the legs were off the guys, they ran themselves into the ground, it fell apart. And so it needed a plan B. And I feel like St. Louis now are going into that plan B with, yes, they still know what they're about and that they work hard and they behind the ball, they've got that in place, but it's how they can evolve on the ball as well. So not huge changes, but you definitely see players that didn't really see before getting on the ball and wanting to try things a little bit more.
Klaus in practice this week has been working with the team. He seems available for selection. I know the team hasn't yet closed the door on maybe them sneaking into the playoffs this year. That continues to look incredibly unlikely. But how important is it for, as all the things that we've already talked about in our conversation, just things looking a little bit different, being able to integrate Klaus into everything else that they're doing, where they're gaining some scoring from some other pieces, but at the same time want Klaus to come in and do what he's done, especially compared to what he did last year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important, you know, for the fans, the supporters, the players in the club, just everybody involved to know that you're going in the right direction. And if you look back towards last year, and of course a lot of eyebrows raised when Bradley Carnell was sacked, was fired, was shown the door. But if you look at it, after, you know, from Leafs Cup and through the end of the season, and then coming into this year, there seemed to be a carryover. And I've seen that with other teams, good or bad. So there is a carryover into the following season. So you get Klaus back, you see how the whole entire picture works for the players that you have just now. I think that's so important. I'm with you. It's going to be so tough for them to be able to get into playoffs. But to give that hope and the belief that the system and the players in place and guys playing for jobs as well. I don't know all the ins and outs of every single player's contracts, but you saw the turnover from St. Louis last year into this year that they need, you know, players will know. Players have been shown the door. They need to perform. They need to do well.
You mentioned some of the things, and with St. Louis being an MLS city just in its second year, people like me kind of learning the culture of MLS. And one of the things that struck me last year was when the season came to an end and they lost in the playoffs, Bradley Carnell was speaking in the post-game press conference, and he was talking about the next season like it was the next week. It was almost like there was just a direct continuation from one season to the other. And so many sports, when the season ends, the season is over and there's time and then you start to ramp up again with at least MLS soccer. And maybe it's like this way with international soccer as well. It feels like there's more of a continuation from one season to the next. So even if they're not going to be a playoff team this year, it feels like in MLS soccer, there's more of a connection to what's going on now to next year. Would you agree with kind of my thought there?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, I'm not a big fan of it. And I do think, you know, with the league and the progression has been phenomenal. It's been great. But I think the more we can get to a place where there's added desperation into, no, this needs to work now. And I think you're seeing it in terms of managers being sacked, being fired this year, that if things aren't going well, that owners are quick to change things. And I think the owners are feeling it more, right? We want to be successful as a club. So that desperation is coming in more and more. But it is one of my pet peeves hearing on your final day when you haven't made playoffs or been as successful as you want with the club, already starting to talk about next year. And even that carrying on to the fans, I think, you know, the diehard players, the diehard fans, it needs to be, no, it's now. And then we'll save for the turn of the calendar year. We'll save talking about next year then. But I'm one that I want to see the desperation. I want to see players fighting for their lives. And I want them to kind of carry that through for at least a while, that disappointment, if it doesn't work out.
You played professional. You played in the English National League for 4 years. Is that unique to MLS, or is it like that way with professional soccer throughout the world?
Yeah, it's different. It's different. The promotion relegation, and I know that's been long drawn out. It's a conversation that I never jump into because I just don't know the ins and outs of, you know, how it would work here compared to, you know, across in Britain. And you're talking about, you know, however many extra years of history that it's had time to build the pyramid and build, you know, a successful sort of the promotion relegation model. So I don't get into that, but I do think there's something to be said about players fighting for their lives. And I think everybody knows about Wrexham now, given Ryan Reynolds. And, you know, that was a club I played against. I remember being in a relegation battle against Wrexham, traveling to Wales. And it was desperate. The guys fighting for their jobs, for their lives, every tackle going in, the bonuses that they gave the players if we got a point, if we got 3 points to stay in the league, was such a huge thing. I've never felt pressure like I felt in that game. And we did get a draw. We did get a point. We didn't get the big bonus, but we got a little bonus. But coming away from that, and I've played on this side of the pond as well, and I've felt pressure here. But I've never felt pressured like I did that day, fighting for our lives, for the club, for the fans, to stay in the league that we were in.
He is Ross Smith, part of the team, MLS Season Pass, Apple TV. Ross, with the I keep telling MLS fans and City fans, if you're not subscribed to this, you got to be. The pack, the what you guys put forward every week is just incredible.
That's good of you. I appreciate it. It's so good of you. I feel so fortunate, the fact that I'm, you know, on the circuit. The guy I work with, Tony, husband, he's one of the best. So I'm very fortunate, the people I get to be around and come into stadiums like St. Louis. I shouldn't have favorites, but it's one of my favorites. I love the people there. I love the vibe. I love the crowd, the in-game experience. It's phenomenal.
Ross, thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
That is Ross Smith. We'll take a break. Have more in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Hour number one of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Here are words I never thought I was going to say. Musician Young Gravy about to join us. He was at Busch Stadium today. He's doing a show tonight at Ballpark Village. 8 o'clock is when it gets started. He had this thing on social media where he put like a girl wouldn't date him because he wasn't a baseball player, and the Cardinals caught on to it and had him sign a one-day contract. So kind of a fun thing. He was out at the ballpark today. Interesting guy, to be sure. Spent a few moments with him, and the first thing I asked him about was that connection to St. Louis.
I've been a lot, but it's been a while, so happy to be here.
Now, we're recording this interview at Busch Stadium before the game. You're throwing out a first pitch today, right?
Yes, indeed.
I heard a rumor you were practicing a little bit with Alec Burleson.
A little bit, yeah. Biscuit and I were getting to it. I messed my hand up recently, so I had to kind of try to, you know, throw it with this glove on and without it. And you know, I was impressed. I kind of got it.
So are you going with the glove for the throw?
I'm gonna figure it out when I get up.
Okay.
There.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. You gotta be nimble. Again, tonight, Ballpark Village. The show's gonna begin. Started 8:30. For you and your music, it's very unique in what you do. You mix hip-hop and country. You sample some kind of iconic beats into what you got going on. How do you come up with everything that you do?
Yeah, it's just I was a huge, still am, huge fan of soul music and rap and, you know, a lot of genres. And I would basically just combine my favorite sounds with, you know, something that's pretty much the opposite. My favorite soul song with that's wholesome with some trap drums and say, you know, some wild lyrics over it, and it works out.
It's fun. You hear because there's that familiarity to something that somebody hears, and then they hear your take on it, and it just creates something fun and very unique, something that doesn't really exist right now in music.
Sorry, yeah. I mean, I just honestly, I work with this kid, Baby No Money, a lot too, and when people ask, it's just like, yo, we just go in the studio and have fun and. You know, that's how the lyrics come out. It's not like we're trying to, you know, come up with something too clever. We're just messing around, and it's a great time.
You do a fair amount of collaborations as well. How much do you enjoy being able to get other musicians into a studio, whatever you might do, and just that creative process with them?
Oh, it's dope, because unless it's him, Baby No Money, it's pretty much always going to be somebody that is like one of my favorite rappers. I don't really do bring on a lot of features. So if I do, it's going to be someone that I really have been a fan of, like Juicy J, who's now a friend, was one of my biggest inspirations, and I get him on a lot of projects.
So talk about your concert a little bit. When folks come out, when you're doing a live show, what does that look like?
My show is, it's hype, it's great energy. I just, you know, I go through the whole catalog, the new stuff, the old stuff, and the crowd is usually pretty wild. It's a good time.
Did you grow up baseball fan, sports fan?
A bit.
Okay.
A bit. I lived in Minnesota growing up, and the Twins, and then I was in Wisconsin, the Brewers. They weren't always great when I was growing up. I was a Twins fan at one point, but I think they dropped the ball. the Braves showed me some love, and then the Cubs, and now I'm officially, you know, a Cardinal.
That's good. Yeah, you got got the City Connect jersey on right now. That's good look for you.
Yeah, thank you. No, I you know, I had to change my alliance, you know.
That will take, and Cardinals just won a series from the Twins, so that's good. So the Twins haven't brought you in or anything?
It's like the only Minnesota team that hasn't really said anything. I've been to the Timberwolves games or performed at a Vikings game. Yeah.
We're creating controversy
right now.
Sorry
to call them out, but yeah.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
If you guys ever need to trade me, I mean... I think the Braves might be first pick for me.
Young Gravy for a rapper to be named later? Is that how it would work out for the trade? We're talking with Young Gravy. He's got a show tonight at Ballpark Village. 8 o'clock is the start time. Tickets are still available. So you don't know what you're going to do in terms of if you're going to wear the glove or not on the first pitch. Do you have any other thoughts going out there?
I was going to bring Bobby Altoff, who is kind of part of the reason why I got into this position,
yeah,
but she flaked today, so I just want to shout out my mom and Autumn, who is a local gal that are joining instead of her.
Awesome, very good. It's great to meet you. I have a great show tonight.
Amen.
That's Young Gravy on KMOX again. Words that we never expected to say, you know. when Bob Costas was here, I'm sure he was just jumping at the opportunity to talk with Young Gravy. But he, interesting guy for sure. I didn't know much about him. In case you couldn't tell, didn't know much about him before I knew I was going to interview him. Tried to do a little bit of research, listen to some of his music. It's unique. It's unique. You can see him tonight, Ballpark Village, 8 o'clock. So about an hour from now is when he is going to get started. He threw a first pitch out at the ballpark today, kind of took over the ballpark. And yeah, he's, it is a very unique style. I called him a rapper. He's kind of a rapper. He's got like this country spin on it. It's hard to explain, but it's Young Gravy. Hour two of Sports Open Line next on KMOX. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
That is Ross Smith. we'll take a break. Have more in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Hour number one of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Here are words I never thought I was going to say. Musician Young Gravy about to join us. He was at Busch Stadium today. He's doing a show tonight at Ballpark Village. 8 o'clock is when it gets started. He had this thing on social media where he put like a girl wouldn't date him because he wasn't a baseball player, and the Cardinals caught on to it and had him sign a one-day contract. So kind of a fun thing. He was out at the ballpark today. Interesting guy, to be sure. Spent a few moments with him, and the first thing I asked him about was that connection to St. Louis.
Been a lot, but it's been a while, so happy to be here.
Now, we're recording this interview at Busch Stadium before the game. You're throwing out a first pitch today, right?
Yes, indeed.
I heard a rumor you were practicing a little bit with Alec Burleson.
A little bit, yeah. Biscuit and I were getting to it. I messed my hand up recently, so I had to kind of try to, you know, throw it with this glove on and without it, and you know, I was impressed. I kind of got it.
So are you going with the glove for the throw?
I'm gonna figure it out when I get up
there. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. You gotta be nimble. Again, tonight, Ballpark Village, the show's gonna begin. Started 8:30. For you and your music, it's very unique in what you do. You mix hip hop and country. You sample some kind of iconic beats into what you got going on. How do you come up with everything that you do?
Yeah, it's just I was a huge, still am, huge fan of soul music and rap, and you know, a lot of genres, and I would basically just combine my favorite sounds with, you know, something that's pretty much the opposite, my favorite soul song with that's wholesome with some trap drums, and say, you know, some wild lyrics over it, and it works out.
It's fun. You hear, because there's that familiarity to something that somebody hears, and then they hear your take on it, and it just creates something fun and very unique, something that doesn't really exist right now in music.
Sorry, yeah. I mean, I work with this kid, Baby No Money, a lot, too, and when people ask, it's just like, yo, we just go in the studio and have fun, and, you know, that's how the lyrics come out. It's not like we're trying to, you know, come up with something too clever. We're just messing around, and it's a great time.
You do a fair amount of collaborations as well. How much do you enjoy being able to get other musicians into a studio, whatever you might do, and just that creative process with them?
Oh, it's dope, because unless it's him, Baby No Money, it's pretty much always going to be somebody that is like one of my favorite rappers. I don't really do bring on a lot of features. So if I do, it's going to be someone that I really have been a fan of, like Juicy J, who's now a friend, was one of my biggest inspirations, and I get him on a lot of projects.
So talk about your concert a little bit. When folks come out, when you're doing a live show, what does that look like?
My show is, it's hype. It's great energy. I just, you know, I go through the whole catalog, the new stuff, the old stuff, and the crowd is usually pretty wild. It's a good time.
Did you grow up baseball fan, sports fan?
A bit.
Okay.
A bit. I lived in Minnesota growing up, and Twins, and then I was in Wisconsin, the Brewers. They weren't always great when I was growing up. I was a Twins fan at one point, but I think they dropped the ball. the Braves showed me some love, and then the Cubs, and now I'm officially, you know, a Cardinal.
That's good. Yeah, you got got the City Connect jersey on right now. That's a good look for you.
Yeah, thank you. No, I had to change my alliance, you know.
That will take, and Cardinals just won a series from the Twins, so that's good. So the Twins haven't brought you in or anything?
It's like the only Minnesota team that hasn't really said anything. I've been to the Timberwolves games or performed at a Vikings game.
Yeah. We're creating controversy
sorry to
right
call
now.
Them out, but yeah.
No, that's okay. Yeah. That's all right.
If you guys ever need to trade me, I mean, I think the Braves might be first pick for me.
Young Gravy for a rapper to be named later? Is that how it would work out for the trade? We're talking with Young Gravy. He's got a show tonight at Ballpark Village. 8 o'clock is the start time. Tickets are still available. So you don't know what you're going to do in terms of if you're going to wear the glove or not on the first pitch. Do you have any other thoughts going out there?
I was going to bring Bobby Altoff, who is kind of part of the reason why I got into this position.
Yeah.
But she flaked today. Okay. So I just want to shout out my mom and Autumn, who is a local gal that are joining instead of her.
Awesome. Very good. It's great to meet you. I have a great show tonight.
Amen.
That's Young Gravy on KMOX. Again, words that we never expected to say. You know, when Bob Costas was here, I'm sure he was just jumping at the opportunity to talk with Young Gravy. But he interesting guy for sure. I didn't know much about him. Didn't know much about him before I knew I was going to interview him. Tried to do a little bit of research, listen to some of his music. It's unique. You can see him tonight, Ballpark Village, 8 o'clock. So about an hour from now is when he is going to get started. He threw a first pitch out at the ballpark today, kind of took over the ballpark. And yeah, it is a very unique style. I called him a rapper. He's kind of a rapper. He's got like this country spin on it. It's hard to explain, but it's Young Gravy. Hour two of Sports Open Line next on KMOX.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.